Coming to you from the top of the SmartWorks Tower. Nestled between the massage parlor and donut shop in beautiful downtown Red Bluff, it's the PenPals.buzz podcast. Need a genuine connection? This is the place to learn how a pen pal can change your life. And, oh yeah, they just happen to be in prison. But Big Steve will never judge. He's open-minded, he's a little quirky, and he's ready for another adventure. So get your postage stamps, grab a pen and paper, and get comfy for 30 minutes of pen pal pleasure. Now, here's your host, Big Steve.
Yeah, and we got to get right to the topic today. We can't be screwing around anymore. You know, I've been asking everybody on every episode that if you have comments or feedback or anything, you can email us at podcast@penpals.buzz. The problem is, I got all these freaking emails. Look at this, Lindsay Tran. I'm angry now. We haven't even started, Daisy. I'm angry already. But Lindsay Tran in Dallas, Texas, thanks for writing, though. I mean, I appreciate the feedback. It's just, Steve, she says, nobody cares if it's hot in your office or the fact you have to do your podcast without a shirt on or the fact the air conditioner doesn't work. All we want to hear about is the topic you're promoting, so stick to the topic. Sincerely, Lindsay. That's not very nice. But thank you for getting in touch with us, Lindsay. We also had Pedro Vasquez of Santa Fe, New Mexico. They got real spicy food there, Daisy. It's like super hot. My mom ordered some like chili something there once, and she said, oh, I like it really hot. I like it really hot. And then she's like, I can't eat this. It's too hot. But good sopapillas down there too. But Pedro in Santa Fe, all he says is more content, less blah, blah, blah. So we'd like some good feedback too. If anybody, podcast@penpals.buzz, that would be great. But without further ado, I figure we can like actually get into the topic today. And it's going to be an interesting one because I got this email just this morning from a lady in the United Kingdom named Amy B. And she said, I just want you to know I've met a wonderful man on penpals.buzz, who I have made an incredible connection with and who's made my life so much more beautiful in a time that I need him as much as he needs me. And then she asked if we could help her with the process of filling out a visiting application, being from outside of the United States. And I had to inform her, well, that there really is no process because they're not going to let you visit if you're not from the United States. But I let her know about the video visits and all that. But that got me thinking that Daisy's been a visitor going into a prison, and I've been in the prison getting people visiting me. So we really have like the whole, we have like all of the perspectives from both sides. And I want to talk about all that, but I want to do that right after this guy, our inmate spotlight. You know, every week we spotlight one of our penpals.buzz members who, you know, just let people get to know them a little better, who they are, what they're about, all that good stuff. And what do you call it? Like a self-proposed chef or whatever. Like he calls himself, I mean, he's not really a chef, but he makes cool stuff in the prison. And it sounds like he could really, like if you went on a date with this guy and he cooked you dinner, it would be pretty amazing. I want to hear more about that. He's also a screenwriter and he's calling in. I think he's on line 11 now, all the way from the day room in Illinois. Jacques Avery, are you there?
Yo.
Yo, man, thanks for calling in. I'm so excited to share your story with all of our listeners. I know it's going to be inspiring for them. The headline on your profile on penpals.buzz, it says, my location doesn't determine my outlook on life. And I think just that headline is inspiring to me and to a lot of people. Where you are, your current situation, your marriage, your family, your living environment, none of that needs to determine your outlook for the future. So I'm excited to talk to you. Why don't you go ahead and just tell everybody who you are and what you're looking for here on the penpals.buzz podcast.
Okay, well, my name is Jacques from Chicago, currently locked up in the Illinois Correctional Center. But like I say, that where I'm at right now currently don't make me who I am right now. Better man than I was prior to me leaving. And I'm looking for someone that I can jam with.
You said like you're down to earth and you love bringing happiness and stability to people, but is there a particular kind of person that you're interested in as far as like age, or are you pretty much open?
I'm pretty much open to whatever age, because age ain't nothing but number anyway. I prefer someone between my age or a little bit older. I'm 38.
Okay.
So somebody a little bit older, established, that don't mind going out of way, honest, loving, somebody that just want to be loved.
I think people are going to be, you know, excited to read your profile. It's Jacquez, J-A-C-Q-U-E-S, Avery is your last name.
Yeah.
Well, one thing for sure that jumped out at me is you said you love cooking and you would love to do...
Hell's Kitchen Challenge.
That's awesome. My wife's like obsessed with Gordon Ramsay. I think she has a crush on Gordon Ramsay, so she makes me watch the Food Network. And I always think, oh, I want to go on there. And she jokes at me like, well, what are you going to make, like turkey sandwich? Because I'm not so creative. Let's say you're on that challenge. What's your go-to dish? What are you going to make that's going to blow people's minds?
I'd say I'll make a cheese, skirt steak, Italian-sausage lasagna.
You're with the ladies, man. They're going to be like, oh, cook me something special. And you're going to just, you're going to blow them away, man.
Yeah, that's the plan. They got somebody that love to cook. No matter what the situation is, just put a smile on their face. Or whatever make her happy. I'm with it.
Do you watch some of those shows when you're in there? Do you have a TV in your cell?
Yeah. I got a TV in my cell. Bobby Blue Flay is my arch enemy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What's that? Beat Bobby Flay, right? You got to beat him.
Yeah. Beat Bobby Flay.
I've seen him lose before. I know people can beat him. I've seen him go down, so that's great.
Yeah. I'll be one of those ones to take him down.
In there, I know you don't get access to all the freshest ingredients and whatnot, but do you have like some creative stuff you cook?
Yeah, I kind of make like everything. I make pizza buns, I make pizzas, I make cakes, I make regular like burritos. I cook like whatever comes to the mind, and all I need is ingredients, and I put it together.
The guys are probably coming to you. They're like, hey, Jacquez, we make me this, make me that, and you probably tell them, oh, it's $10.
Yeah. It happened like that. It most definitely got to happen like that. You want some high quality cooked food, jail style, they know where to come to.
One of the other things that jumped out at me, like I mean, people are going to love to be writing you because, for one, you said you're all in when you're writing letters. You give 100% all the time. And the other thing's interesting about is that you write screenplays and poetry.
Yeah, that's something I picked up on being in sale by yourself, just with your thoughts. So me personally, I come up with a few screenplays, whatever comes to my head on the poetry side. So I got a screenplay that I made. It's called The Coin. My special, I stick to like comedy and horror. So that's like my forte, what I go to. Coin is a horror. I'm the person to keep you locked in, like, can't wait for this part. They got to make a part two to this. And so that's my special, to keep you entertained and keep you one more of this trilogy.
Let's tell everybody, so you're on Kinect Network, and I think the cool thing with the system you're on, at least when I looked it up, it's only 15 cents to send you a message there in Illinois.
Yeah.
And that's about the lowest price of any of these inmate email systems. So that's, I think, especially, I mean, 15 cents is like you could send five of those for the cost of one stamp, you know, for snail mail.
Yeah, it's probably cheaper than that. It's probably cheaper than that now. It's, I'm going to say like $4, you can get you 20 messages, and that'll be 20 messages for $4.
Yeah, so nobody should be able to use that excuse like, oh, it's too expensive, I can't afford it. There's no excuses. You got to write to this guy. And if you go to Kinect Network, you search Illinois DOC, and then I think you can just enter your number, which is R61271.
Yeah.
And then hook it up. What'd you say, $4? You get like a ton of messages.
20 messages.
And if they want to write you directly, if they want to send snail mail, are you guys allowed to get that?
Yeah. They want to write regular via mail, they could just write My info was on it. Jacquez Avery. ID number R61271. P.O. Box 999. Kenton, Illinois. 61520.
You're an inspiration. Really, you inspire so many people, and I'm so glad that you were able to call in and we can share this story. And hopefully, I'm hoping soon you'll be calling back and telling us about the beautiful woman that you're engaged to or something in the near future. That would be amazing.
I'm looking forward to being engaged to someone. If they out there, hit me up.
All right. Thank you so much for calling, and go cook something amazing tonight, okay?
I'm going to actually go do that right now as soon as I get fit.
Over 2 million men and women are locked up in America. Most sit in their cells, alone, forgotten, given up on by society. Now you can change an inmate's life for the cost of a postage stamp. Increase their self-worth and help them succeed both in and out of prison. Visit penpals.buzz and search for a prison pen pal today. It's free and it's fun. Penpals.buzz. Connecting inmates with the world.
Tell us, Daisy, like you've gone more than one time to a visiting room. What are some of your impressions?
So luckily, the facility that I visited was 2 hours away from my house. I know some ladies have to drive like 5+ hours. I got super familiar with the little town that the prison was in, and I really liked it. It was like one of those little towns that you kind of just pass by on your way, like on a freeway or something like that. Yeah, it's super small.
It seems like they put the prisons, you see them like out in the middle of nowhere, I guess, because they don't.
Yeah, it actually ended up benefiting those small towns. They'll bring a lot of jobs, a lot of money. And visiting was pretty fun, actually. It wasn't a bad experience for me.
A lot of people, they're meeting people on penpals.buzz, and they're getting to that point where it's like, I really want to visit this guy or this girl.
Yeah.
And most people, believe it or not, haven't ever been to a prison, so it scares the crap out of them. And just the thought of, like, are they going to get robbed in the waiting room? I know my mom, she was always afraid to leave anything in the car. Outside, and my dad always told her, like, this is the safest place because everyone's locked in there, not out here. People think it's scary, it's dangerous, it's going to be like going into a haunted house or some horror house or something. But I know Susie, who started Inmate Blogger, she met her husband on another Pen Pal site. She went on to Dr. Phil a few years back and said it just reminded her of like a cafeteria in a school.
I feel like it's the same way, like everything from the benches, like, it gives you that feel for sure.
How long did it take before? So like you have to fill out the application and that can be kind of scary for people. I know a lot of people, they got their applications printed out, downloaded them. Some of the DOCs have a place where you can download them. Sometimes you can't.
Yeah, it's probably, you got to make sure you fill it out like super crystal clear. I did the mistake of like filling it out like maybe it was like not the best writing, and so they ended up messing up my email, and I wasn't able to be added on to their website. I had to call about 50 times to be able to get added to go to schedule a visit.
You said, no, I'm not Dizzy, I'm Daisy. Like, you have to read.
Yeah, I think it was my email. It was, I put .com, and it should have been .com.
Oh, no.
That was the worst.
How do you even, like, I wouldn't even know where you'd start, like, if they screwed something up. And is there just like a phone number? Can you just call and talk to the warden, or how does that work? I have no idea.
I think I actually ended up joining a Facebook page for that specific prison, and I just posted my question there, and they gave me a bunch of numbers to call, and pretty much that's how I was able to get a hold of like the visiting sergeant to fix that.
And it took 50 calls, but he got it done.
It took 50 calls.
So that's a lesson for everybody in every aspect of life, that persistence pays off and never give up. When you have a dream,
for sure.
When you have a dream of visiting someone that you love, no matter how many times they say no, you just keep trying.
You'll get
But through. You got in there pretty quick, though, after that, right? I mean, within...
I got into the system pretty fast, but after that facility, you had to schedule an appointment. And I think it was every Friday at 6 a.m. it would open up online for the following week. That was probably, like, the next big step for me because I couldn't schedule one. Seems like everybody was a regular and they already knew how to go about it. So that was the only second thing.
I know every prison's a little different, but I heard some stories from somebody that when you're trying to get signed up for the visit, it's almost like playing the lottery of sorts.
Yeah. Yeah, the website immediately crashes at 6. Some ladies are on their tablet, their phone, the computer at the same time. And you pretty much don't know that you get an appointment until like 10 minutes later when you check your email. That was a sucky thing for me.
How many people would be in that room at one time?
So that facility, they had a lot of people. I would say maybe there was up towards like 35 tables, maybe even more, I want to say. And they were all filled up by the end of the day.
So there's probably, 100 people trying to get an appointment. Yeah. And then there's 35 slots.
And you really just got to like refresh and keep pressing. And hopefully you'll get that appointment.
You're too young to know this, but back in the 80s, we had these things called landline phones. And I remember always calling the radio station because you wanted to be like caller 83 or whatever. Yeah. Some of the kids had the redial button, which was like so cool. It gave them such an advantage. But I had this old Mickey Mouse phone that was like literally Mickey Mouse. And I remember the number. It was 977-1027. And I was like muscle memory. I was like, just keep calling and calling and calling. It sounds like it's even harder to get a visiting appointment.
Yeah. Not all facilities are like that from what I've heard. But this one in particular, it was just really bad to get an appointment.
So I want to like talk about my perspective from being inside. When we find out that we have a visit, the first thing you go and you tell all your buddies, dude, my girl's coming or my parents are coming. I got a visit coming. And everyone will say things like, oh, you got to get some of that good food. Make sure, oh, they got these double jalapeno big ass burgers or whatever they call them. And then, oh, they put in a new ice cream machine. You got to make sure you have them buy you that ice cream. We couldn't get up and buy anything. We had to have the visitors go to the machines and do the microwaves and all that. It was this whole process that we'd go through. So there would be, you'd make sure you were freshly shaved. You'd make sure you track the barber down, give him an extra tip, like 5 envelopes instead of 2 envelopes. If he could cut your hair, you got to get right out of the shower before the visit. A lot of guys would have like a fresh jumpsuit or scrubs just for the visit days that they would never wear. Because if you wear those to the chow hall, then you end up smelling like macaroni goulash. So they'd have like this clean, fresh smelling jumpsuit. They'd put makeup over their zits. They'd rub cologne strips from, Latina magazine or whatever they'd have, and they'd put perfume on their arms so they'd smell nice. And then everybody would, you pretty much knew who's going to be visiting you, but you'd have to wait for the official announcement. And that was always stressful. Let's say visiting started at 9. There's dudes lined up like at 8:15 by the door, just waiting to hear their names to get down there because they're excited. And then you hear, attention on the unit, Apodaca, Barker, Contreras, Newman, Patchett, Robertson, visitation. If you're Smith, you're like, what about me? Like, my girl just drove 100 miles. Why didn't you call my name? And then they're pushing the button and they're what? I'm Smith. Where's my visit? Oh, no one's here for Smith. What do you mean no one's here? Then people start freaking out. And the guys that already knew they had their visits, they're walking down the hall. They got to get checked in. So you got to do like the strip search. You got to wait for a while to even get into the room. You can sometimes see you can see your loved one like through a window, but you can't get to them quite yet. You're like waving at them and stuff. And then you'd get in and you were allowed, they called a brief hug and kiss. And different places had a different definition of brief. Sometimes brief was a minute. Sometimes it was a second. And like, I've never been like a hugger with family and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's like physical affection's always a little, I like tense up and stuff. But somehow once I'm there, my mom wants to always hug me. My dad's hugging me. I've never hugged my dad. All of a sudden my dad's hugging me. And I felt like these visits are bringing out more closeness sometimes with families that, maybe when there's this traumatic thing that happens, it puts them into another dimension where they feel like they need to be more affectionate. I don't know. I guess it's similar to like if somebody dies in the family, then the rest of the family gets closer when there's like a sad event.
You appreciate it more.
It turned into like this like fiesta, this like feast of, oh yeah, I want 2 of those jalapeno burgers and then I want to try those Flamin' Hot Cheetos. Usually like the visitors weren't eating that food that we thought was like a delicacy. We thought this is like gourmet stuff because it's so much better than the chow hall. But you probably weren't buying yourself mushroom Swiss burgers.
I always ate before going.
You would go before the prison, you go and get some like real food.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
I felt like people felt like they had to eat with me, so it felt like they were part of my experience. They didn't want to be rude where I just eat alone.
Oh, yeah.
So would you eat, like, something? Would you find, like, a donut or a...
For us, it was those little Sour Patch things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we ended up hating those at the end of it. It was just the only good thing in there.
I remember one time we used Reese's Pieces, and I was teaching people to play poker, and we used those as the chips. Oh. So we had, like... all these Reese's Pieces on the table, and we're, like, pushing them around the table. tell me just from start to finish, so you know you get approved, finally you get your visit date. And especially talk about, like, the first time, because I know a lot of people are nervous.
Oh, of course.
And they can't sleep, and some people even, I know, like, get halfway, and they're like, no, I can't do this, and they go back. But go through, like, the process of, like, what you were thinking, and... then everything that you had to do from like the morning you woke up until you were actually sitting in that room.
So I made sure to pack an extra set of clothes just in case they didn't approve what I was wearing, because some facilities, you know, they're super strict with color. Made sure I put gas in my car the night before for sure. I always brought my ID and an extra form of identification just in case.
People ask a lot about that clothing thing. So it's like gang. Is that like a gang thing? You can't wear what, red or different colors?
Yeah, depending on the facility, there's like a specific color they don't let you wear. I think ours was red. So to avoid everything, I just played it safe and I wore black. It's like the safest color you can wear in there.
Can you wear shorts? Can you wear skirts? Can you wear a V-neck blouse? Were there rules that they told you about, or did you just have to like learn on your own?
Well, you know what? It kind of depends on the CO that's handling everybody. Because what one CO won't let you wear, another one will let you wear. Like, it's perfectly fine. I always played it safe. I always wear a black thing. I ended up buying, like, 10 pairs of black pants and just switching up the shirt.
This is kind of weird, but I'm noticing you're wearing all black today. Yeah. So that's
good. I got used to it.
So you'd get there, so... you drive, you get gas in the car, and you drive there, and then would you go park at the prison, or how did that whole process go with it?
At our facility, the one that I visited, I parked at the door, and my first time, I was clueless. I saw a lady by the door, and I ended up asking her, where did I have to go? And I finally was able to check in, you know, how to take off my shoes, any jewelry. And then from then on, you pretty much just wait. Our facility, you had to wait for a bus to drive you, since the actual prison was like a mile down.
I had a few friends that visited over the years, and I always found it interesting that they would make friends with the people in the waiting room.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess you'd see, that was what the sad thing was, like, for me, was that it was like the same. There's, I don't know, thousands of people at whatever facility, but there might be like 30 that get visits regularly. There might be the one guy, he's like, oh, I got a visit 9 years ago. Or, you know, my uncle's coming. Haven't seen him in 14 years. And then there's the majority of them, they're going every week, every weekend.
Oh, yeah.
As you, as a visitor, if you're going regularly, you're seeing the same visitors. And
oh, yeah.
I know people told me like a lot of times you'd have to wait for an hour, 2 hours just to get into the room, and people would just share their whole life stories in there. It was almost like therapy. And it was like something where a lot of times people didn't feel comfortable talking about prison or you're in there, you know, everyone else is in the same boat that you are.
Yeah, you get super comfortable with those people because you're pretty much going through the same thing. And then most of the time we're waiting to see our loved ones, so you kind of... to pass the time, you make small talk with them.
Were any of them like, hey, let me give you my email and let's hang out?
Oh, yeah. So actually, one of the ladies, I became super acquainted with her. We ended up sharing a room. She stayed overnight and I ended up staying overnight. So it honestly helped a lot, sharing a room instead of each of us having to pay for a room.
Oh, so that's so cool.
That was pretty cool, yeah.
Because it's expensive, man. You, like, just the gas is expensive, and then the whole process of all of it.
The gas, the money that you're allowed to take in, food. You kind of have to account for everything in there.
And so I want to just warn people, if you are going to go visit, because everyone's always asking, what do I say? What do I not say? What should I wear? What do I do? My advice, I know I was thinking about this just the other day. Don't talk about other inmates or their families that you're seeing while you're in the visit. My dad would just have, and he talks loud. He's like deaf, but he can't accept that he's deaf. We always joke we're going to buy him like hearing aids for his Christmas or whatever. But I remember on more than one occasion he'd say, "Hey, look at that guy over there with the face tattoos. Do you know what he's in here for? And I wonder what, you know, I wonder why you'd even get tattoos on your face. That's, you know." And then I'm just like terrified that, oh, crap, this guy's going to hear this. And then I'm going to have to deal with that later. It's like, hey, why is your dad talking shit about my, you know. And so, you know, my mom's going like, shh, shh. He's like, oh, don't shh. He can't hear anything, you know. So just, I'd say just if you want to talk about that, like do it privately, you know, or do it over the phone or do it in a letter or something. But it's just bad when you're, then sometimes he would be like, you see that man over there visiting that inmate? He told me in the waiting room that he is a realtor for the, you know, it's just because it's just sometimes some of those guys can overhear stuff and it can just lead to bad things. It's just better to try to ignore it if you can. One time I saw there was a deaf guy named Coburn and he had this beautiful woman visiting him. And I was like, oh, man, I was thinking like, way to go, Coburn, you know, because he was like sign language and. And I told him, like, man, later on, I was like, that beautiful girl that was, is that your new girlfriend? And he's like, that's my sister. Oh, sorry. So just, they say, do your own time, mind your own business. ultimately, I guess we just want to make people feel more comfortable that it's not this super, super scary thing. Daisy did it. Daisy's brave, right?
It was intense. There was a storm that day, I remember.
The first time?
Yeah, the first time it was like a super big storm. I never driven more than like 20 minutes in the rain. It was like horrible.
And then you're probably wondering, like, was it like thunder and lightning and all that?
Yeah,
going on?
So thunder,
you're
thinking, lightning. It was actually New Year's Eve. Yeah, it was New Year's Eve when I went, my first visit. So everybody's on the freeway too, leaving.
I'm not even really superstitious, but if I was driving to a visit and then there's this dark storm, I would think this is a really bad omen.
I was like, maybe this is a sign. But I remember we had our phone call in the night. We only got one 15-minute phone call a day. We switched it to the morning. So hearing him call me encouraged me. Like, all right, I could do this.
I would have been so nervous. Like, I don't know if...
It was, like, super foggy, and it actually, they took, like, maybe, like, 40 minutes to bring him out from the time I managed to wait and get inside.
What's, like, one of the craziest things you saw happen in the visiting room?
Okay, and I know you're supposed to mind your business, but this guy proposed to this girl in front of everybody, and maybe, like, a week later, it ended. Like, she left early from that visit. So, yeah, that was probably, like, one of the craziest things.
Oh, no. Was it one of those, like, a movie scene where you see the guy get on his knee and he pulls out the ring and everyone cheers?
Yeah, everyone knew. All the inmates knew he was going to propose. So you just see him, like, super nervous. He proposes. They're in love. They take pictures. And, like, next week they're arguing. She leaves early. And that was probably the last time I saw her.
Well, that gives us a good opportunity if she's out there and she's hearing this. Penpals.buzz is a great place. You can find somebody new. We have hundreds of wonderful inmates that I'm sure would stay engaged once they got in. And they wouldn't do anything stupid.
A lot of good guys on there.
Lots of good guys. You've talked to some of them, huh?
Yeah. Super nice guys. So I can only imagine. I think because they're more appreciative of everything and, you know, the least judgmental.
So some people... Maybe they're not allowed to get visits for whatever reasons. I know sometimes, like, if you have a family member, if you have someone else that you're visiting, they won't let you visit. I think video visits are kind of, just the whole idea is kind of lame. Because, like, if you're saying, like, I'm going to go visit my friend, you're not just on Skype or on Messenger. You want to actually go see him. But it's better than nothing if that's your only option. And I think maybe for people in the UK, that might be an option, like somebody like Amy.
Because video visits, they got rid of them here in California, the Sunday ones that they would do. But prior to them getting rid of them, you know, instead of you going on the app and paying for the video visit, they would give you a whole hour with your inmate for free. So that was a good thing about that. But it was nice. It was like a free hour to see them.
Yeah, that's nice. That's
yeah, sometimes so much. We would even get like an additional 15 minutes if they were nice enough.
That's so cool. And then you did those, you did the real visits for how long until?
It was like a year that we did those. Yeah. So it was intense.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really good though.
And you're here now. How do you like this heat?
Oh man, I don't love it. I can't wait for fall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Too. Another thing, I got approved in the fall. So I didn't have to worry about it being like 110. So I was able to just wear a coat and play it safe.
That's great. So it's podcast, PODCAST. That's the coupon code. If you're still listening to this, 20% off of any new profile, but that's only good through August. So after August, that's going to go away forever. And then you got to pay the full price. So jump on that if you're there. And you can also email us podcast@penpals.buzz. And thanks again to Lindsay Tran, even though her comments were mean to me, and Pedro Vasquez from Spicy Food New Mexico. Anyone, good or bad, really, we won't make fun of you too much, or we won't get too angry.
Oh, for sure.
I just sometimes I get my feelings hurt a little bit. I'm very sensitive.
It's lockdown time for Big Steve. But he'll be back Monday with another edition of the Penpals.buzz podcast. To be a guest on our show, email podcast@penpals.buzz or call 888-2-PENPAL. Penpals.buzz is a division of Snaptura Inmate Services.